The portion of God's word that we'll focus on this morning comes from Exodus chapter 35. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He carefully observed each person who filed into the treasury. Some of them walked slowly, with their heads held high, hoping that everyone around them would notice the large bag of coins that they were depositing. Others walked in very quickly, their heads hung in shame, hoping that no one around them would notice the minuscule bag of coins that they had. Others shuffled in with a grumpy look on their face, like little children dragged into the doctor's office. Others walked in purposefully with a cheerful, joyful, eager smile on their faces. And he carefully observed each person that came to bring their offerings. And yet as he did, he looked deeper, below the surface. He looked at something more than just how much noise the offering made as it clanged into one of the trumpet-shaped receptacles in the temple treasury. He looked at their hearts. He looked at their motivation for giving to his father. He saw what was invisible to everyone else. And 2,000 years later, people are still bringing their gifts into God's sanctuary, but not dropping shekels into a trumpet-shaped receptacle, but putting commitment envelopes into a wooden box labeled Forward in Faith. If Jesus were sitting back there today in one of those narthex chairs, watching us as we came and dropped our commitment envelopes into that box, what kind of things would he see? What would he see below the surface? What would he see in our hearts? Would he see hearts that are eager and cheerful and joyful to give? Would he see hearts that were arrogant, that basically screamed out, "Hey, everybody, look at how important I am because of how much money I'm giving"? Would he see hearts that were filled with shame, full of grief, lamenting the fact that I can only give so little, and so I must not be worth much? Would he see hearts that were apathetic, either begrudgingly dropping in a forced commitment or blowing by the box altogether, thinking and mumbling, "Yeah, I'm not wasting my money on that"? What kind of hearts would Jesus see? About 35 centuries ago, God also asked his people to bring some commitments, not to expand a school building or a ministry, but to build a tabernacle, precursor to the temple in Jerusalem, this mobile building, the sanctuary where God would dwell among his people after he freed them from slavery in Egypt. And from the response that we see the Israelites bring to God, there are some applicable lessons, principles that we can apply to ourselves. We'll call them the four keys to our commitments. As we make our commitments here on Commitment Sunday, to Forward in Faith and to God. And as we look at Exodus 35, we'll see that these four keys are as follows. First, our purpose. Second, our people. Third, our gifts. And fourth, our motivation. About 3 months after God split the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to escape from the pursuing Egyptian army, he came to Moses, the leader of the Israelites, for some instructions for the Israelites and how they should live. And along with things like the Ten Commandments and the other laws that he passed on to govern their daily lives, God also commanded Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." In order to build this sanctuary, God asked that the Israelites be the ones that supply the building materials that were needed. Things like gold and silver and bronze, yarn and fine linen, wood and animal skins, oils and spices and precious gemstones. He asked that there would be people who were skilled as craftsmen, as weavers, who would build and construct and weave and spin so that these materials they brought could be used to make a tabernacle, a place where God's work could be carried out. And really, that's the first key to our commitments. What was the Israelites' purpose in bringing these gifts? Moses tells us that they brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. And the Israelites brought these commitments, these offerings to God, so that God's work could be carried out. Because at that tabernacle, that precursor to the temple where we see Jesus watching people put their offerings, there at that tabernacle, God's people would worship him. And there the priests would offer sacrifices and intercede on behalf of the people for their sins. And there the infinite, all-powerful presence of God would dwell above the Ark of the Covenant in a 15-square-foot room called the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And so the Israelites brought their offerings so that that important work could be done, so that God could be glorified, and so that his work could be carried out. And isn't our purpose the same? Don't we pursue the same things? As we expand our school building and ministry, aren't we following and doing the work of Jesus, who tells us, "Let the little children come to me"? As we expand and beautify our building, aren't we drawing more people to our church and school so that we can teach them about Jesus, their Savior? And God is glorified through that. And so we acknowledge that our purpose in these commitments is the same as the Israelites, to honor and glorify God, and so that his work might be carried out among us. But notice, I said, we bring our commitments. And that's the second key to our commitments, our people. If you scan Exodus 35, you see a listing of all the different groups of people that took part, that participated in this offering, that brought commitments. We see things like everyone who was willing, men and women alike, everyone, every skilled woman, all the women who were willing, the leaders, all the Israelite men and women. Men and women, leaders and followers, upper class, middle class, lower class, the entire nation of Israel all played a part. Everyone worked together, everyone bearing the load together. They worked together as a group and not as individuals. And when everyone responds, when everyone plays a part, then those arrogant hearts that want to shout out, "Hey, look at me, how important I am because I'm carrying this project," those arrogant hearts are silenced. Because in carrying out God's purpose, it isn't just a matter of the individuals, it's about the group, about a group of believers, a family of believers working together so that God's work can be carried out and accomplished. You notice that in this account, God doesn't record for us anywhere things like, "And it's a good thing that Jacob brought so much because he really carried the project." He doesn't mention anyone by name. Instead, he talks about the group. He talks about these people, not as individuals, but as a whole. How all of them worked together to carry out this important work. See, this isn't like when a wealthy athlete donates millions of dollars to his alma mater and they stick his name up on the library. Because our commitments are not about us. We don't give so that they'll put our name on the building. We give so that God's name will be proclaimed in and through that building. And we do this work together, as a family growing in Christ. And yet our sinful nature still wants really badly to focus on the individual and the size of that individual's gifts, doesn't it? We have to admit, aren't we more wowed by the person that commits to giving $250,000 to the project than the person that gives $250,000? Don't we pay more attention to the Israelites who are bringing gold and silver and bronze than the ones that are bringing wood and goat hair? We might. but God doesn't. Because nowhere in this account does God indicate at all that any gift is more important or less important, that any gift is more valuable or less valuable. He looks at every single gift that the Israelites bring, and he looks at them as valuable and necessary and precious. And it's vital for us that we look at our gifts in the exact same way. And so that's our third key to our commitments, is our gifts. So without the goat hair, those skilled women couldn't have weaved it into the fabric that was needed for the tents of the tabernacle. Without the wood, the craftsmen couldn't have built the Ark of the Covenant. You see, every single thing that God asked for and that the people brought, they were valuable and they were necessary materials. Every single one of them. And that means that the shame-filled heart that laments that I couldn't give very much, that guilt is released. Because when you give something to God for his work and to his glory, it is always valuable and it is always precious in his sight. Whether it's a quarter or a quarter million. And maybe you aren't in a financial position in your life right now where you could give a lot of money to Forward in Faith, and that's okay. Because there are so many different ways that you can glorify God and carry out his work, even if it doesn't mean you're giving your money to it. You notice how often God acknowledges these skilled women who could spin and weave. You saw that the only two men who are mentioned by name in this account, Bezalel and Oholiab, they're not mentioned because they gave such vast offerings. They're mentioned because God filled them with skills, with talents and abilities, with craftsmanship so that they could build and construct and plan and teach others to do the same. Because valuable and necessary commitments are not just ones that end with a lot of zeros. See, whether your commitment was the value of your stock or a commitment to help out with any sort of in-house construction that we have to do, or a commitment to sweeping the gym floor, any sacrifice, any service, any gift that is given to glorify God and to carry out his work, it is valuable and it is precious. And we see that as Jesus watches those people giving their offerings in the temple, as he calls his disciples over and says, look, that little old widow who just dropped in the equivalent of a fraction of a penny, she gave more than everyone else, even more than the wealthy people dropping in their thousands. As he tells them, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. Now, obviously, we know math, right? We know that fractions of a penny is not more than thousands of dollars. So how could Jesus say that? And that brings us to the fourth and the most important key to our commitment. It's our motivation. What is our motivation for making our commitments, for giving these gifts to God? It's a matter of the heart. And that's why Jesus could say that this widow gave more than everyone else, because he could see her heart. He could see that her offering came from a heart that was full of thankfulness and trust and joy in her God. And we see that the same thing carried out in Exodus 35, as Moses records, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord. Everyone whose heart moved them. Isn't that what it all comes down to? See, our motivation for doing this project, for building this expansion, it isn't so that we can have more storage or so that we can have a really impressive-looking gym for our opponents or so that it'll make our life a lot easier when we can just drop our preschoolers off all day instead of having to pick them up at lunchtime. And but those things maybe cross our mind. But that's not our motivation for making these commitments and doing this project. Our motivation is the fact that our hearts have been moved by the gospel. Moved by our love for Jesus to show that love in service and in giving to our Savior. See, our hearts are moved as we consider God's grace and mercy in sending Jesus, the perfect fulfillment of the tabernacle. not just a place where God would dwell among his people, but God himself becoming one of his people and dwelling among them and dying for them in this sinful world. Our hearts are moved as we consider how God has faithfully given everything that we need for all of our lives. Our hearts are moved as we take to heart how vitally important it is that we share Jesus with the dying world. And certainly the Israelites' hearts were moved by God's grace and mercy too, because not more than a couple of months before the account that's before us, they so quickly broke the commandments that God had given them, the commandments they had committed to keeping, as we see them bowing down and worshiping a golden calf. And God, as a holy God, had every right at that moment to destroy every single one of those sinful people, to wipe them off the face of the earth right there in the desert, and yet he doesn't. Instead, as Moses pleads for his grace and his mercy, he shows them just that, his grace and his mercy. Not abandoning them, not destroying them, but instructing these sinful, rebellious people to build a tabernacle where he would dwell among them. He showed them his grace and his mercy. And we see the gospel-driven motivation playing out in their actions. So in the following chapter, Exodus 36, we're told that the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning, and that eventually people were restrained from bringing more because there was already more than enough to do all of the work. Can you imagine sitting here in 2 weeks on Celebration Sunday when we announce the final total of commitments that we've received, and pastor says, "Hey everybody, good news, we've got more than enough. We don't need to bring anything else because it's all here. It's more than we even need." May God move our hearts to do just that. But even if it doesn't happen that way, even if we don't go above and beyond $6.8 million, it doesn't mean that our hearts haven't been moved by the gospel. Because in the end, what truly is important, what really matters, isn't the total number of commitments that we've received, but the hearts that have brought those commitments. Hearts that are moved by the gospel. Hearts that love Jesus. Hearts of faith. Hearts that trust completely that God is going to continue providing for every single one of our needs as an individual and as a congregation as we continue moving forward in faith. And that's why things like arrogance or shame or apathy, they don't fit. Because those are self-focused attitudes. And as Christians who have been moved in our hearts by the gospel, we aren't self-focused, we're gospel-focused, outward-focused. What's good for the gospel? What's good for God? What's good for the kingdom? And so today, on Commitment Sunday, as we recap the four keys to our commitments, things like our purpose, to glorify God and to carry out his work, our people, all of us working together, not as individuals, but as a family, as a group of believers. Our gifts, all of them valuable, all of them important and necessary in God's eyes, regardless of their size. And our motivation, hearts moved by the gospel, hearts moved by the good news of Jesus, hearts moved because God gave everything for us, and so we want to give back to him. Hearts moved by the fact that that same Jesus who sat there watching people giving their offerings, regardless of their attitude about it in the temple, that same Jesus went to the cross and was fully committed, committed to dying and taking away every single one of those sins, including our self-focused or arrogant or self-deprecating or apathetic giving. And so that means that this weekend or next weekend or wherever you bring your commitment to God, as Jesus looks at your heart as you do so, he sees a heart that's been cleansed by his righteousness. He sees a heart of faith. He sees a heart that's been moved by the gospel. And that means that he can rightly look at you bringing that commitment and say, He gave, she gave, more than anyone else, because that commitment came from a heart that was willing, a heart that was moved by the gospel. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Commitment Sunday, anyone who is willing, anyone whose heart has been moved by the gospel, bring forward your gifts for all the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. May God so move us by his gospel and fill us with his grace that we do just that today and every day. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the